Okay, good morning, everybody. I hope everyone's doing well and had a beautiful Shavuos. Shavuos at BRS was amazing. For those who were able to join us in person, the room was packed throughout the night. Amazing shiurim from Rav Schechter throughout the duration of Shavuos. It was really very special to be back in person. We were just debating when to move our shiurim back in person, so we're not there yet. But certainly after the summer, the goal is to move the majority of our shiurim back in person, where there will still be an online option for those who wish to join and those who wish to participate. You will notice that I am not in my normal location and that my sound might be a little bit not as good as it normally is. I'm actually in Bergenfield, New Jersey. I had to come in for a Levaya yesterday, and I'm staying for a Shiva call today. So I did not have my regular Svarim. So if the shiur is a little bit more abbreviated or not as fully developed as it normally is, I apologize. I dealt with what I had and did the best that I could late last night to be able to prepare for our shiur this morning. Our shiur this morning is sponsored by a very special person in my life, in our lives. But the truth is that it's really, she sponsored it for me and for us, but we should be sponsoring it for her. And that's Linda Gordon, who is retiring after 24 years at Boca Raton Synagogue. She is the longest standing staff member in the history of Boca Raton Synagogue, including any rabbi, any custodial staff, any office staff. Linda far surpasses everybody. And as I wrote about in a little comment in the weekly, and as any of you who have interacted with Linda over the last 24 years knows, Linda is the engine that has driven BRS. She is the heart behind BRS. She is the energy behind it. Anything that the rabbis were able to accomplish over the last 24 years, the enormous growth of the community, was in large part to Linda. Linda's dedication, devotion, really knew no bounds. And she would come in early. She would stay late. She lived. She breathed. She ate. She slept BRS and its members. And she loved every single one of you and every single one of us. Obviously, her primary responsibility was to the rabbis and to making sure that the rabbis had what we needed and that we were fully functional and operational. But anyone who ever interacted with Linda knew that she loved our members as part of her family. The way she took care of everybody, the way she ensured that whether it was during a time of a simcha or chas v'shalom during the time of a tragedy, that you had what you needed and that you were comforted. In fact, we had a problem for a number of years because people would call Linda on the phone and she wouldn't get off. They were like her best friend. And we had to remind her that she has other stuff to do. But again, it's going to be a gaping hole in Boca Raton Synagogue with Linda not there. I'm actually in denial. I'm convinced that she's going to unannounce her retirement soon. I cannot imagine Boca Raton Synagogue without Linda. I cannot imagine Linda without Boca Raton Synagogue. The two have become really synonymous. And for me, over the last 11 years, it's been one of the most enriching components of the opportunity that I've had to work at BRS. So, Linda, we want to thank you for your sponsorship this morning, but much more than you sponsoring in an honor of us, we are sponsoring in an honor of you. We wish you many more good years of health and happiness. You are going to be with your children and your grandchildren. We are so happy and joyous that you have that opportunity. We will miss you dearly, but we know you'll be listening from afar, participating in our classes, and that forever you will always be part of the BRS community. And whenever you want to come back, I will make room in my office for you. That is how much I am in denial about your absence. I also want to sponsor today's class for Li'ulei Nishmas, Rafal Aharon HaKohen, Ben Shlomo Chaim, my cousin who was nifter over Yantif. The funeral was yesterday. I'm here for a Shiva call. So our learning should be an aliyah for his neshama as well. Okay, today we are going to study the 46th chapter of Tehillim. Now you say, Rabbi Moskowitz, I understand. The other day we did 42 and 43. Why aren't we doing 44 and 45? The answer is that 46 spoke to me. And sometimes when things are going on in the world that resonate with you with a particular chapter of Tehillim, so you run with it. So we're going to skip around a little bit, and depending on where I'm emotionally and where I think the world is, we will study different chapters of Tehillim. Chapter 46 of Tehillim, as you'll see very shortly, is a very relevant chapter of Tehillim, considering what is going on in Eretz Yisrael. It's a chapter that is oftentimes recited when there is Saras amongst Klal Yisrael, specifically in Eretz Yisrael. And the entire goal of the chapter of Tehillim is to give us the koach, to give us the energy, to give us the chizuk, to have faith in Hashem, even during precarious times, even when it feels like the walls of the world are closing in around us, which I think for anyone who's following the news in Eretz Yisrael certainly feels. So this chapter of Tehillim is there to be able to give us chizuk even during those very challenging times. The chapter of Tehillim is broken up into two parts. Psukim 2 through 7, Beis through Zion, talks about upheaval from the natural world. We're going to talk about rivers and winds and mountains and how nature sometimes doesn't cooperate. We in South Florida know that very well as we come to hurricane season. And then you have Psukim 9 and onwards, 9 through 11, which talks about not upheaval through nature, but upheaval of war. That there is some enemy that is coming, that is descending upon the Jewish people. That enemy is seeking to wage war against the Jewish people. One of the things that we are going to have to explore, and I want you to keep this in the back of your mind as we study this chapter of Tehillim, is what do the two sections have to do with each other? What is upheaval from nature, right? You picture almost like this hurricane, this typhoon, this thunderous storm. What does that have to do with the end of the chapter of Tehillim, which talks about war? An enemy is coming and descending upon us and seeking our destruction. Obviously, the commonality is that Hashem protects us from both. But why in the same chapter? Oftentimes in chapter of Tehillim, you would have different chapters articulating those different themes. Here we have it in the exact same chapter. And the question that I want you to let linger in the back of your mind is why? Why is it that those two would be found in the exact same chapter of Tehillim? So that is what we are going to study today. Okay, let's jump right in. Let me just pull it up on my screen again. I don't have my normal, Rabbi Goldberg and I call it our cockpit, where we have our screens and our microphones, and I'm obviously a little bit out of my element this morning, but we will do our best. Okay, Lamanatseach Livnei Korach Al Alamos Shir. This, of course, is a continuation of the Tehillim that were recited by the children of Korach. What is Al Alamos? So if you look at the classic Meforshim, Mitzuda Sion says, Shem Kli Nigun, that is a musical instrument, which seems to be, for those who have been studying this with us for a long time, that seems to be the default. When we're unfamiliar with the term, Rashi says that as well. Shem Shel Kli Shir B'Divrei Yamim, it's a name of a shir, it's a name of a musical instrument that is mentioned in Divrei Yamim. And so, L'menatzeach L'vnei Korach Al Alamos Shir, is that this was a song that was written while playing that musical instrument. The Medrash takes this in a vastly different perspective. The Medrash says the following, let's pull it up, Zesh Amar HaKasav, Ose Gedolos Ad Ein Cheker, that Hashem does greatness Ad Ein Cheker, in other words, beyond discernment. We cannot tell. We cannot discern all of Hashem's greatness. Ein Adam Yachol L'saper Niflosav Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That no matter how hard we try, we cannot tell over the niflaos, the wondering, the wonderments of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In other words, no matter how much we think we have a grasp over the amazing miracles that exist in the world, you and I have no concept of the miracles that Hashem created in this world. V'cheinu Omer B'Tehillim, this says the Medrash, the Pasuk in Tehillim, Le'oseh Niflaos Gedolos Livado. Le'oseh Niflaos Gedolos, the one who creates these niflaos, these miracles, Livado, he alone. Says the Medrash, Hu Levado Yodea Nisim Uplayim. Only Hashem knows the full width and breadth of the miracles that he performs on our behalf. Kach Amru B'nei Korach Al Alamos Shir. Says the Medrash, this is the first pasuk of our Parakat Tehillim, Al Alamos Shir. What does the word Alamos have to do with the fact that the ways of Hashem are hidden from us? So of course, we know that the word Olam means, Me'ulamim, means to be hidden. Right? Olam, the reason why the world is called Olam is because Hashem is hidden in the world. The world is, by definition, a hidden place. And so says the Medrash, Lamnatzeach Al Alamos means it's a reference to Hashem's hidden ways. Me'ulamim heim hadvarim sherainu. God's ways are hidden from us. Vein anu yodim ma rainu. And we do not fully grasp, we do not fully understand that which we see. And so says the Medrash, we look at the world around us and we think we understand the miracles of the world. That the grass grew this morning, that the sun came out this morning, that our bodies are functioning this morning. These are all the miracles that we're aware of. But says the Medrash, Lamnatzeach Al Olamos Shir is a reference to the fact that no matter how much we think we understand of Hashem's ways, the majority, the vast majority of Hashem's ways are completely hidden from us. Now, as you'll see as we progress through this chapter of Tehillim, you will understand why this is a appropriate introduction to the chapter of Tehillim. We're talking about chaos in the world in this chapter of Tehillim. We're talking about threats from the outside, both within nature. Nature, of course, is something that we have absolutely zero control over. You could have the strongest army in the world. You could have technological advances in the world. You still can't stop a hurricane. You still can't stop an earthquake, right? So no matter how much we try, it's beyond our control. And even when it comes to war, and we think we could have some level of control over it, the truth is that we have no control over it at all. We have no control over it whatsoever. And so we start off the Perek of Tehillim by saying, Lam Natzeach Livnei Korach Al Olamo Shir. It's a reminder to every single one of us that on a micro level and on a macro level, both personally and on a national level, we'll never understand the full width and breadth of the miraculous nature of the world around us. The world is a world that is Olam. Hashem is purposefully hidden in the world. It is our job to find Him. It is our job to seek Him. It is our job to seek that relationship with us. But it's always important to remember Al Alamos, as the Medrash says, Me'ulamim Heim, that the ways of Hashem are hidden in the world. We will never fully grasp them. We will never fully understand it. I reference this idea. Oftentimes, those who listen to my shiurim know, by the Parsha of Balak. Bilam and Balak go to curse Bnei Yisrael. You'll notice that in the entire episode of Bilam and Balak trying to curse Bnei Yisrael, there is one thing that's missing, and that is the Jewish people's awareness of what is taking place. You have no indication at any point throughout the story that Klal Yisrael have any semblance of understanding that on a mountaintop overlooking their camp is a wicked king and a wicked prophet who want to seek the destruction of the Jewish people. In the entire conversation between Bilam, Balak, and Hashem, where they're trying to curse the Jewish people, and Hashem transforms the curses into a blessing, Klal Yisrael are oblivious to that. Until the Torah is written and we read about it, they have no clue that they were on the brink of destruction and that Hashem saved them from it. The entire miracle was completely hidden from the Jewish people. Rabbi Fran points out that that is the phraseology that we say in the end of our first bracha of Shmoneh Esrei, Melech, Ozer, Umoshiah, Umagain. What is the difference between all of those terms? Says Rabbi Fran that Moshiah is Hashem saves us from the threats that we know about. Magain means that Hashem saves us even from the threats that we don't know about. We have no clue how Hashem manipulates events behind the scenes for our betterment. I drive in a car, I go down, right? I drove to, anytime you drive in New York, you take your life into your hands. But I drove from Teaneck to Elizabeth yesterday, right? I was on countless highways and bridges. I didn't even know, right? GPS was just taking me to from point X to point Y. But I have no clue what Hashem had orchestrated and manipulated behind the scenes to ensure my safe arrival at my destination, right? I got in a car, I got out of a car. That seemed pretty natural to me. I have no idea what Hashem orchestrated behind the scenes to secure my safe arrival. All of us have infinite opportunities for that revelation in our own lives, is to recognize that no matter how much we think we understand the miracles of Hashem, we have no clue, we have no concept of what Hashem is doing behind the scenes for our betterment. That, says the Medrash, is Lam Natzeach Livnei Korach Al Alamos Shir. The Alamos Me'ulamim, that the ways of Hashem are Ein Cheker, Hu Levado, only He understands them. We have no grasp, we have no understanding of it whatsoever. It's important for us to remember that with humility, with great humility, that we are infinite, we are finite, and our level of understanding is finite, and Hashem, of course, is infinite. I read an amazing book over Shabbos. I was discussing some elements of the body and the soul with one of my cousins, and I picked up a book that someone had bought for me, someone had gifted to me, actually Sarah Shandelson, after she lost her parent, and she gifted to me this book by Benjamin Blech, which is, I believe it's called Fear Not Hope. It's about a Jewish perspective on dying. And he has a great analogy in it. It's a short book, it's about 125 pages. You'll finish it very quickly. But I found it very inspiring and very thought-provoking. In there, he has the following analogy. He says, what happens if you take a person, and the moment they were born, you put them in a cave, and you put them against the wall of a cave where they had no concept of anything outside of that cave, and they had never seen reality, they had never seen the world, they had never seen existence outside of them, And the only thing that you did is you had behind them almost like a bridge where people would walk by the bridge. They couldn't turn around and see the bridge, but you had a spotlight shining on the people as they would walk by the bridge. So along the wall of the cave, you would see the shadow of the people. So I was born, and the only thing I've seen is this wall of this cave. And the only interaction with people that I've ever had is their shadow against the wall of the cave, but I cannot turn around and actually see the people. All of a sudden, let's pick an age, right? Person turns 40 years old, 20 years old, whatever the case might be, and you release them, and you allow them to leave the cave. And all of a sudden, they go out into the sunlight, and they're completely blinded. They've never seen sun. They've never seen something so bright. And then all of a sudden, they start seeing human beings, and their eyes very, very slowly begin to adjust to the light. Their eyes very, very slowly begin to adjust to the bizarre scene of seeing actual physical human beings, not just the shadow of human beings. That said, Benjamin Blech, in a very beautiful essay, is our relationship with this world. We think we have a total understanding of the world around us. We think we understand how Hashem works and how Hashem orchestrates the world. And we think we can understand because we are so developed as a people and so developed as a society. But we're only seeing the shadow. We're only seeing one sliver of a dimension of reality. In the times of Mashiach, in Olam Haba, we are going to get the full glimpse, the full bright light, the full experience of all of the dimensions of the world around us. And so it's important to remember al olamos, that Hashem's ways are hidden from us, that we are seeing but a shadow of the full totality of the world of existence, of the olamos, all of the different worlds in existence. And again, I think that is there to create a certain healthy level of humility within us, certainly in terms of our personal life, and also when we look at geopolitical events as well. Okay, Pasuk 2, that was a very long introduction for the introductory Pasuk. Elohim lanu machazeh va'oz, Ezra b'tzaros nimtza me'od. God is our machzeh va'oz, he is our oz means strong, he is our strength, he is our machazeh, he is our refuge. Ezra b'tzaros nimtza me'od. When we are in a tzar, when we are going through a difficult moment, so Hashem is there to help us. The Radak, almost all of the Mefarshim point out, this is a reference to Gog u'Magog. It's a reference to the Messianic era. And as really just the basic understanding, the pshat of the Pasuk is, it's a time of tzaras, national tzaras for the Jewish people. We remind ourselves through this chapter, now you will understand why I purposefully chose to study this chapter, that Elohim lanu machasev oz, that during times of crisis for the Jewish people, we remind ourselves that Hashem is machaseh va'oz, that Hashem is our refuge, and that Hashem gives us strength. Obviously, during difficult times, it is hard to feel that, but it's important at those times to reflect upon the totality of Jewish history, that Hashem has saved us, and that we believe with full emunah that Hashem will continue to save us even from precarious situations, even from situations that seem like they have no or little out, or no or little resolution in terms of teva. Pasuk Gimel, Al Kein Lo Nira BeHamir Aretz. Because I believe in Hashem, I will not be afraid of the Hamir Aretz. What does the word mean? Hamir. So the Mitzvah Sion says it's from the Lashon of Tmura. Tmura, for those who know in Halacha, is a exchange. I'm able to exchange a korban with another, etc. So says the Mitzvah Sion, what it means is that when the world is crazy, when the world is upside down, in other words, when we've exchanged a natural, rational world with a world that is upside down on its head. I don't know about you, but certain events over the last 2 weeks have made me feel that the world is Hamir, that we've exchanged normalcy with really just a total disillusionment of a sense of reality. Uvemot harim belev yamim. And therefore, we're not going to be afraid. And again, now we get into nature, right? The earth is reeling. Mountains topple into the ocean, right? In other words, there's chaos in the natural realm. Yehemu yechemru meimav. Its waters are going to rage. Yirashu harim begavaso sela. And its mountains are going to shake. So again, you get the sense of this chaos in the natural elements. Hurricanes, storms, earthquakes. Nahar palagav yismuchu ir Elohim kadosh mishkenei elyon. There's a river whose streams are going to gladden your city, the city of, obviously referring here to Yerushalayim. This is a reference that even though there's chaos in the world around us, when it comes to the city of Yerushalayim, the waters will flow tranquilly. So you already get this image of this chaos in the world around, but when it comes to Yerushalayim, there is a sense of serenity. There is a sense of peacefulness. Elohim bikirba bal timot. What is the cause of that tranquility? What is the cause of that peacefulness? It is that Elohim bikirba bal timot. That because Hashem is found in that city, therefore bal timot, it will not falter. Ya'azreha Elohim lifno boker. Hashem, by daybreak, will come to its aid. Obviously, daybreak here is not a physical representation. It is metaphoric, as the Meforshim point out, which means that when the Geula is going to come, we will have recognized all of the help, all of the myriad of ways that Hashem saved us throughout our history, that Hashem provided salvation for us throughout our history. Hema goyim matu mamlachos, nasan bikolo tamoga aret. Right, the nations now are going to be in turmoil. Kingdoms are going to topple, right? Kingdoms are going to be shaky. Why? Nasan bikolo tamog eretz, right? Hashem raised his voice and the earth dissolved, right? Again, it's that notion of Hashem through his thunder, through his involvement in nature. Hashem, with the sound of his thunder, the entire world can crumble just like that. Now we pivot to the next section. Oh, this is the end of the first section, excuse me. Adonai tos imanu misgavlanu Elohei akosela. Right, Hashem is with us, imanu misgavlanu Elohei akosela. Hashem is our haven, even in these difficult and catastrophic times. That is section number one, which again, I think you see very clearly, is a reference to upheaval in the natural realm. Now we go to section number two, which is our enemies. L'chu chazu mifalos Adonai. Come and see what Hashem has done. Asher sam shamos ba'aretz. That he has brought complete desolation and devastation in the land. Mashpis milchama ad katzei. He puts a stop. Mashpis, right? He puts a stop to war. Ha'aretz keshes. Yishaber v'kitzeis chanis agalos yisrof ba'esh. Again, Hashem puts a stop to war. He breaks their bow. He snaps their spears, right? Again, all of their wagons. Wagons here is a reference to military might. We've studied that when it comes to the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim. You notice that the Jewish people don't just leave Mitzrayim. And it's not just that the Egyptians drown in the sea, but it is their wagons as well, right? Eila varechev, ve'eila basusim. There are those who put their faith in their horses, in their chariots, ve'anachnu, but we put our faith in Hashem. So Agalot here is a reference to military might. Yisrof Baish, Hashem is able to destroy that as well. So again, we're not really sure what's going on, but there's some military challenge to the Jewish people, and Hashem has put a stop to it. Harpu udu ki anochi Elohim, Hashem says, desist. In other words, stop what you're doing. Know that I am God. Arum bagoyim, arum ba'aretz, that I will dominate. I will be exalted in the world. I will be exalted on the earth. Adonai tos imanu miskavlanu el hayakosela. Again, that concluding phrase, which is a repetition of a phrase we saw earlier, that Hashem is with us. Hashem is our haven. Sela is a way in Tehillim of saying, period, exclamation point, end of statement. So again, you see very clearly those two sections. You see the upheaval of nature. You see the cessation of war. On the most basic level, you get the sense that there is a calamity that is threatening Yerushalayim. And yet despite that, Hashem is protecting us. Hashem is saving us. Hashem is our fortress. What is the calamity? So again, you see those two different sections. One is, it seems like there's a natural calamity, that the earth is shaking, the water is flowing, there's an earthquake, there's some sort of a hurricane that is taking place. You just picture this chaotic scene of natural catastrophes happening all around the world. And then it pivots in the second section where it's not natural calamities that we're worried about, but rather it is a war with the enemy. How do you reconcile these two sections of the chapter of Tehillim? That becomes the million-dollar question. So the Malbim says the following, that they're not actually two sections, but rather, says the Malbim, that they are both combined. He says, Mi'inyano, Yaseid al Shetef Mayim Rabim Shaya Az Beret Surya. That there was apparently this catastrophic flow of water, this massive flood that was taking place in Syria. Shinar Parat es Gidosa, Veshetef Medinos, Vecharib Arim Rabim, Visham Shamos Baaretz, that it was breaking down dams, it was ruining cities. Again, you envision just this massive flood raging through Syria, destroying cities along its way. However, says the Malbim, Uv Hagia Hashetef La Eretz Hakadosha, Shamlo Hizik Muma, that when it gets to the land of Israel, nothing is destroyed. The floodwaters come to Israel, and they are completely stopped. Mibnei kavod Hashem ha-shochem b'Yushalayim, ashir lefanav yishtachaveh b'nei ilim, eilet behadras kodesh. That when they come to Yushalayim, because of the kavod Hashem that exists in Yushalayim, those waters stop dead in their tracks. That is the understanding of this chaotic, catastrophic, disastrous natural calamity. And when it comes to Yerushalayim, it stops. Those are the psukim that we just read, right, where it says, Elohim bekirba baltimot, right? All of a sudden we come to Yerushalayim, Hashem is in the city of Yerushalayim, and therefore nothing is going to come wrong. How does the Malbim then understand the second chapter, the second part of the Tillim? So the Malbim says beautifully, and I think this is so relevant for us. Uba'i sahi, at that moment in time, when there is floods and hurricanes and earthquakes, Haya aritz echad mimalche Surya margiz mamlachos v'kevesh v'cherim mimidons rabos. That it's at that moment of natural calamity throughout the world that an enemy rises up and tries to take advantage of the chaos to fight against the Jewish people. In other words, an enemy recognizes, smells the vulnerability of the Jewish people, anticipates that the Jewish people are going to be in as much of a catastrophic situation as the Syrians, and so they try to take advantage of that chaos and to wage war against the Jewish people. I couldn't have put it better myself about what our enemies try to do against us, where it's the moment they sniff vulnerability, they seek to wage war against us. And so says the Malbim, this is not two distinct sections, but it is one and the same, that there is this natural calamity that is befalling the world. Our enemies see that, they sniff the vulnerability, and they say, come, let us attack the Jewish people. That is option number one, that is the Malbim. Almost all other Mefarshim understand it a little bit differently, which is, yes, it is not two different and distinct catastrophes that are befalling the Jewish people. Rather, it is one and the same. In the storms, the imagery of the floods, of the raging waters, that is a metaphor for our enemies attacking us. And yet again, we were saved from it. If that's the case, who is this enemy? Who is attacking us? So the Ibn Ezra says, let me just pull it up here again, I don't have my classic stuff here. Ibn Ezra says, Ki mizer b'nei Korach hayazeh meshor b'mei Chizkiyahu b'shuv Sancheiriv achor. Again, we know the story. Sancheiriv was waging war against the Jewish people, besieged Yerushalayim. An enormous miracle happened in the time of Chizkiyahu, and Sancheiriv is destroyed. Says the Ibn Ezra, that is what we're talking about here. Klal Yisrael is in that precarious situation. Hashem performs a miracle. All of a sudden, we are saved. The Radak understands this a little bit differently. The Radak says that we are referring to here is Yemos HaMashiach. Zehamiz mor la'asid b'kibbutz galios o b'melchemes gogu magog. We are talking about a time of the birth pangs of Mashiach. Right? The birth pangs of Mashiach, when there's going to be difficulty and catastrophe and war. And yet, once again, we fully believe, we reinforce the belief within us that Hashem will protect us no matter what is going on in the world around us. So whether you read it like the Malbim, that it's two different events, but really all centered around the same event, or whether you read it as the Ibn Ezra, Radak, most classic Mefarshim, that we are referring to here is one event, and the storms and the waters is really just a reference, it's a metaphor for our enemies attacking us, right? Clearly the theme here is that in a time of great uncertainty, in a time of calamity for the Jewish people, we put our faith in Hashem, that Hashem is going to protect us. And so this chapter, and now you understand, hopefully, in greater understanding why we're studying this this morning, that this chapter is a chapter for Klal Yisrael when it is going through an Eis Tzara, when it is going through a difficult situation. Al Olamos, even at a time when we don't understand it, even at a time when the ways of Hashem are hidden from us, this chapter of Tehillim is when we reinforce within us the belief that Hashem will protect us and that Hashem will save us no matter how precarious the situation is. That is the chapter of Tehillim. I want to share with you a few quick ideas just to round the chapter out from Rav Hirsch's commentary. Again, I didn't have my classic Sfarim, so I pulled whatever I had where I am staying. But Rav Hirsch offers a beautiful interpretation on Pasuk 4. Yehemu, Yechemru Meimav, right? Says Rav Hirsch, we shall not be afraid because we see the hand of God even in the midst of the surging floods of catastrophes. Even when the world seems like it is crumbling, we are not afraid because we see the hand of God. We know that it is He who guides them. And the upheaval of all that seemed great and firm on earth is intended only to reveal God in His all-powerful majesty. Right? No matter what is going on around us, we firmly believe that it is the Yad Hashem, that it is the hand of Hashem, even when we can't see it. But though they may roar and foment, they are still His floods. Even when we see things that seem illogical and irrational and unexplainable, says Rav Hirsch, it is important to remember that they are still His floods. Hashem is still manipulating events behind the scenes. It is God that rules them, that causes and guides them. And they, meaning nature here, obey only the command of His will. So that is point number one, which again, I think further drives home the point that while we see nature and while we see natural events and natural occurrences sometimes, it says Rav Hirsch, it is important to remember that they are God who is manifesting events, that He ultimately rules them and He ultimately guides them. And therefore, even in the most difficult situations, we put our faith, we put our emunah in Hashem. The other idea I want to share with you from Rav Hirsch was a word that really doesn't make sense. I glossed over it. None of you called me out on it. But in Pasuk 11, it says, Harpu ude'u ki anochi Elohim. Our harpu means desist. Who is desisting here? It is not very clear. Says Rav Hirsch, the ruins of the shattered powers preach aloud to those nations that still exist. Imagine the imagery, says Rav Hirsch. This is not Hashem talking. This is not the children of Korach talking. This is Rome. This is Greece. This is Persia. This is ancient Egypt. The powers of antiquity that sought our destruction are now calling out to the nations that still exist. And what are they saying to the nations that still exist? Quote, if you shall walk in the ways of those that have been destroyed, in other words, if you make the same mistakes that we made, if you follow our folly, then you too shall perish. In other words, they are warning the nations. They are warning Hamas and Hezbollah. They are warning jihad and anti-Semites. And they are saying, if you walk in our faulty ways, in the ways of those who came before you, who sought the Jewish people's destruction and instead were themselves destroyed, say Rome, in Greece, in Persia, in the Turks, say all of them, then you too shall perish. Therefore, harpu, desist from that which you have held fast and upon which you have based your support until this day. Ude'u, know that wherever you go on earth, you will see the ruins of the nations which worshipped at the shrine of their own power, even as you do today. De'u, let these ruins teach you and I that Hashem alone and exalted amongst the nations. I saw that idea of Rav Hirsch and I got chills because I think that is the chizuk that you and I need in our day and age. Says Rav Hirsch that Harpu, Pasuk 11, is the nations of the world, all the generations and generations of enemies that have come before us, that have all sought our destruction, that all put their belief in their own power, in their own might, and therefore thought that they could destroy the Jewish people. And what do they have nowadays? You can go to Rome and you can see the ruins of the Roman Empire. You can go across the globe and see ruins of civilizations, great civilizations, that all believed in their own power and that all sought the destruction of the Jewish people. And it's those nations who scream out to our enemies today. And they say, Harpu, wake up. Desist from your nefarious ways. Desist from belief in your own power and in your ability to destroy the Jewish people. Learn from our mistakes, they say. And instead, Ude'u, instead put your belief in Hashem. This is the chizuk that I myself needed this week. I'm sure many of you as well. It's the reaffirmment of our belief in Hashem, even in the most challenging of times for the land of Israel, even in the most challenging times for Jews around the world. It is our emunah, it is our belief, it is the reinforcement of our convictions that we, the Jewish people, are here to stay, that those who seek to destroy us will be destroyed, those who seek to bless us will be blessed, but that we are here for eternity as we continue the march to the Geula Shlema, Bimheira, Bi'Ameinu. Everyone have a wonderful week.